I think I mentioned once before that Norma and I have been writing letters to each other and on different topics. And one day, the topic that we chose to write on was, what things are most important to me? I don't know why we choose some of these topics. Just some of them, when we choose them, we say, no, I don't even know what I'm going to write about on that one. But it's interesting and it helps us communicate. So anyway, we chose that topic. And I found it to be a very interesting one. What things are most important to me? Maybe you can think in your mind right now, what things are most important to you? And possibly some of the boys and girls might think, well, there's that little truck that I've got. That's really important to me. Or maybe this doll that just stuck to me like glue and I never leave it any place. Maybe a train, or maybe if it's older people, they're thinking, well, my car, or maybe my house. What are the things that are important to you? And what would you say those are? What things would you list as being the most important? Our study in the book of Genesis tonight, Genesis chapter 19, tells us about what Lot considered to be important in his life. What were the things that Lot thought were important to him? And what was it then that made Lot linger as he left Sodom? Genesis chapter 19, we read the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the way that God took Lot out of that city. Genesis chapter 19, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them." So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish, only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." Then they said, "This one came in to sojourn, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, or whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Then Lot said to them, Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said to him, See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar, and the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw and behold the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that he remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. And he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, Our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come in to us as the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. So they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he did not know when she lay down or when she rose. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. And you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Then they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she rose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He's the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Benami, which is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. Father, we thank you for your word and for the clear indications of your power and your mercy and for the clear warnings of a disobedience into which we can fall if we are careless regarding our relationship to you. We pray that you would teach us this evening from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Why Lot lingered. I think as we look at this portion of Scripture, we see that Lot lingered in escaping from the city of Sodom because of an improper love of the things of this world. Now, that doesn't mean that Lot didn't have his virtues. We see in this portion that he was very hospitable, and he was eager to entertain the two men, the two angels that came. He, like his uncle Abraham, was very quick to show all of the courtesies of the day. And so he had this virtue of being very hospitable. We read also in the New Testament that he was a righteous man. He knew God. Today we would have said Lot was a Christian. And in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8, we have the testimony that Peter gives regarding Lot, that when God sent the judgment on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. And so he was a man that knew God. And we see also that he did rebuke the men of Sodom. In verse 9, for example, the men of Sodom said, this one came to sojourn, and he keeps acting as a judge. In other words, Lot was continually reminding them of the wickedness of their ways. It wasn't that he was unfaithful in telling them that they were walking in wicked ways. And so he was constantly rebuking them. But there was something wherein Lot was quite different from his uncle Abraham. His uncle Abraham was a rich man. We read in several places in the scriptures that Abraham had been blessed by God in the area of material things. But Lot had a problem with material things that his uncle did not have, in that Lot had an improper love for those material things. No, it was the love of material things that actually got Lot into Sodom to begin with. You remember that one day when Lot was still living with his uncle Abraham, that the herdsmen of the two flocks began to have problems because of the size of their flocks. Lot was apparently rich as well. And as a result, Abraham said to Lot, we don't want to have problems between us, and so why don't we separate a distance, put a distance between us so that our herdsmen can feed the flocks properly and there not be problems between us. And as Lot looked around, forgetting that God had said he would give all of that land to Abraham, and that really it was Abraham who should have had the choice as to which direction he would go, Lot looked around and he saw the rich, lush plains of the southern Jordan area, and he chose that for himself, chose the very best of the material blessings for himself. And indicating his love of material things. And the scriptures warn us about that. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so Lot got down into the area of the city of Sodom because of his improper love of material things. We read then that little by little Lot got closer and closer to the city until finally he was living in the city. He seemed to enjoy the luxury of city life and the esteem of being one of the leaders of the city, sitting in the gate. And so God came along and brought a severe warning to Lot. Do you remember what that warning was? How did God say to Lot, Lot, this is not the place for you? Do you remember what happened next in the life of Lot? Anybody remember? All right, there was a war in the area. Remember, there were some kings that came down into that area, and they made war on all the cities of that area. They made war also on the city of Sodom, and they took Lot captive. Lot and all that he had, his family and all that he had, and all the people of Sodom and all that they had. Apparently it was a rich place. And these kings took them captive and hauled them off up to the north. You remember that Abraham, aware of what had happened, went and rescued Lot and all of the all that he had, and the king of Sodom and all that they had. Abraham rescued Lot. But you know what Lot did? He went right back to where he was before. And rather than realizing, God, I think you're trying to tell me something, Lot went right back to Sodom and ignored the clear indication that God was giving, the indication that we read of in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, where we read, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Clear indication that God gave to Lot, you get out of there. But Lot loved the things of this world, and Sodom was a center of the things of this world. Actually, we look at Lot, and we look at the city of Sodom, and especially in this chapter where Lot seeks to protect the angels from the men of Sodom, we look at this chapter and we say, you know, Lot was so different from the people of Sodom. How did he feel comfortable there? They were wicked, immoral people, and that wickedness and that immorality just bothered him. We read Peter says it just tore at his soul day after day. Why did he stay there? How could he feel so comfortable with people who were so different? But you know, actually, Lot was not any different. Because we're told, for example, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, what the real sin of Sodom was. Ezekiel 16 and verse 49, we read, "As I live, says the Lord God," next verse, "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." And so what were the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah? Pride and fullness of bread. Those are the first two things mentioned. And here we find Lot, who was very proud to be one of the judges of the city and to sit in the gate. And we find Lot, who delighted to be in this place of fullness of bread, of material blessings. And so actually, the first two, the primary sins of Sodom, were the very sins of Lot. And so they were exactly alike. They were really not that much different. And so this love of things made him go right back to Sodom again and settle down right where he had been before. And thirdly, we see that this love of things kept him in Sodom. Even though we are told by Peter that day by day his righteous soul was torn with the wickedness of these people, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds, even though in that city there were no men fit to be the husbands of his daughters, he still stayed in that city. You see, what Abraham did when he needed a wife for Isaac is he sent up to Haran. He was so concerned that he have a godly woman for his son. But apparently Lot was not concerned, because the men that he allowed to marry his daughters were wicked men and unbelievers who laughed at him, laughed him to scorn when he said that God was going to destroy the city. And so the love of things kept him there in that city in spite of the fact that it meant giving his daughters to ungodly men. And then fourthly, the love of things made him hate to leave Sodom. Even in the face of destruction, we read, Lot lingered. He lingered, risking his life and the life of his family. Reminds me of a story I read about a monkey. In Africa, I read that the Africans make traps for catching monkeys. And what they do is they make a box, and they make a little hole in that box, and they put nuts or some kind of hard food in that box that the monkeys like. And the monkey finds the box and sticks in his hand, and he finds the food that he likes, and he grabs that food in his hand, but then he can't get his hand out. And the monkey will not let go of that food in order to get his hand out. And so then the natives will come around and they'll check their boxes every now and then, and they'll find a monkey there who has got his hand caught in that box. and he can't get his hand out, and he won't let go of what he's got in his hand. And so he's caught, and then he's killed. And so he loses his life because he won't let go of what he's got in his hand. And here Lot was at the edge of the city of Sodom, and he was lingering, willing to risk his life and the life of his family because he didn't want to open up his hand and let go of all the things that he had that were going to be destroyed. And so love of things made him hate to leave Sodom, even in the face of destruction. And then fifthly, the love of things made his wife hate to leave Sodom. And we read that she disobeyed what the angel said, and she turned around and she looked longingly at all the possessions that she was leaving. Lot had not taught her a proper view of material possessions, and she took her eyes off her family. With her was her husband and her daughters, and she took her eyes off them, and she looked back at the material possessions she was leaving, and she hated to leave. And then the love of things made Lot useless after he did leave Sodom. It seems like, having lost all of his things, Lot developed an I don't care attitude. I think that's the only way that his daughters were able to make him so drunk that he didn't know what he was doing. He must have had a despondent I don't care attitude to be tempted into that kind of a condition. Everything that he considered worthwhile was gone. But you know, he still had his daughters. And they were with him. And even at that stage, he could have said, you know, it's time to go back and find Uncle Abraham and find some godly men that my daughters can marry. But he didn't do that. And because he didn't do that, his daughters lost all hope. They could see that their father was not really concerned about them. And so when he lost his things, he didn't really care about anything else. And as a result, then, his daughters practiced some of the conduct that they had learned in the city of Sodom. And after all, he had offered to give them up to immorality. I'm sure that when he offered to send his daughters out into the street, they were aware of what their father was doing. And so what difference did it make now if they tempted him into immorality? And so as a result, we see that he had this I don't care attitude. And the result of the conduct was the formation of two tribes, the Moabites and the Ammonites, enemies of the seed of Abraham. Do you remember that King Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel? Do you know that King Balak was the king of the Moabites? And so the seed of Lot was used of Satan to bring destruction to the nation of Israel as they were heading toward the promised land. And we read that it was the Moabite women that corrupted the Israelites as they were heading toward the land of promise. And then in Judges 11:14, do you remember Jephthah and his rash vow? That was made because of the inroads of the Ammonites who had come to war against Israel. And so we see the problems that the seed of Lot brought to the seed of Abraham. And as we read this chapter, we think, what a terrible end. What a way for Lot to end his life. God had blessed him when he was walking in the faith of his uncle Abraham. And here we find this disastrous end and his seed becoming mortal enemies of the seed of Abraham, all because Lot had an improper love of material possessions. As I looked at this, I thought, what is the proper attitude toward things? And this was what occurred to me as I was writing this letter. What things are most important to me? As I sat there, I thought, well, you know, I know that when I get out to start the car and it won't start and I have to get someplace quick, I think, you know, that car is awfully important to me. You really need it. But really, it isn't that car that's important. I do need transportation because, you know, supposing that car were stolen or smashed or something, why, I'd get some other kind of transportation. And so really that is not important. The meaning of that car is not really that great to me. And as I sat there, I thought, you know, the things that are really important, it doesn't really matter how much they cost or how much I think I need them. As I sat there, I was trying to figure out what to write. I had my pen in my hand. And I thought, well, you know, I've carried this for a long time. I don't know how many years I've carried this pen. Norma gave it to me. And it's a very special pen. And although sometimes people keep updating their pens, this one, I just keep getting refills for it. And it's very meaningful because she gave it to me. I thought, well, that's interesting. And then I began to think about other things around the house. And I remember that in the entryway, there's a big plaque that has my favorite verse on it, Joshua 1:8. And that's extremely meaningful to me. The love that was expressed in making that plaque. And then I began looking at other things, and we have a couple of cross stitches, one with Psalm 8 on it, and another one with the Lord's Prayer, that are just very special. And another one, a hand-carved plaque of a ram, and in my mind just started going right on through the house, and I could be here for a long time just telling you all the things that the Lord brought to my mind, the things that are really special, that I consider to be an appropriate love of things, not the things in themselves, but the people that they bring to mind, the people that are behind those things. And so actually, there's only an appropriate love for things when it is really a love for the people that are expressed by those things. And so it's the people that count. And that's what Lot forgot. He had with him his most important possessions, his wife and his daughters. And he forgot that. And he lingered, even though the angel said that his wife and daughters were going with him. And God was so faithful. Did you ever wonder why God sent two angels? Well, there had to be two of them because we read that they each took two people by the hand. One angel took Lot and his wife, and the other angel took his two daughters, and they had to take them by the hand and pull them out of the city. God says, I'm going to have to send two messengers down there because they're going to have to take them by the hand and pull them out. And in spite of this, Lot didn't realize that he had actually with him his most important possessions, his family, his wife and his daughters. And as they went, as they fled, his wife looked back. She forgot. She forgot that she already had with her her husband and her daughters. You know, what did she have to look back for? Rather than being grateful to God. And you know, we are told in Scripture in Luke chapter 17 and verse 28 that there is another time coming. Luke 17, 28 to 30. We read, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Notice here it's all material possessions. Doesn't talk anything about the immorality. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. Likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back and say, oh, I've got a quick run back and get some of my things. God says, don't do that. It's going to be that same way in the last days. In Matthew 24, 17. Matthew 24, 17 and 18. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. They worked in the field in just the briefest undergarments, and because of the heat of the day, they don't even go back to the edge of the field and get your cloak. Have no thought for any of the things that you otherwise might need. I know when we were in Chile during some times of political stress, we were informed by the United States Embassy that we were to be ready to leave on 24 hours' notice, and that we could take nothing with us except a small briefcase with our important papers, passports, and things like that. Nothing else. And to those who wondered, you know, why couldn't they take at least a small suitcase, they said a suitcase would take the place of another person. And so people are more important than suitcases. And God feels the same way. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this whole world is going to perish. It's going to be destroyed by fire. But God says it's the people that count. It isn't the world. It isn't the world and the things in the world. It's the people that count. And God loves people. And so you are more important to God than the world that he made. And he's willing to destroy the whole world. But praise God, he's going to take his people out of the world. We still have the remains of the destruction that God brought on Sodom and Gomorrah. And travelers to that area of the Dead Sea tell us that the Dead Sea really is almost like two lakes. The one lake is very deep, over 1,000 feet deep, and with indications that at one time it had fresh water in it. The other end of the Dead Sea is very shallow, and it's almost a second lake because there's a peninsula that juts out and almost cuts it off. And it's very shallow, less than 16 feet, and in many places it's only 3 and 4 feet, and in many places you can walk all the way across it. The bottom is salty mud, and that's the remains of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the remains of the place that Lot loved. And that's why God warns us and says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Father, we thank you for the warnings that you give to us in Scripture, and pray that our hearts might always maintain a proper attitude toward the things of this world, and that by your grace we might follow the example you give to us in Scripture, because your concern is for people, and things are only a means of demonstrating love to people. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.